Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's show, we've got news on a potential Hulk trilogy, the demise of Firestorm, a new Star Wars trailer, Todd's review of Blade Runner 2049, and a Razer commercial that's actually worth watching. Who knew, right? But first, the big news, according to Time Magazine, CNN, and a lot of other sites, is something that I'm not quite getting. It's something called Movies Anywhere, which is a big new app that gathers together five of the six major movie studios. Five of the six major movie studios: Sony, Warner, Universal, Fox, and Disney. Trivia question: what's the sixth one? Stick around to the end of the show, and I'll let you know. And you can just open this app and then access all your other stuff from Amazon Video and Google Play and iTunes and Vudu, all through one app instead of having to close an app and open another. Because that's such a hard thing to do, I guess. Do you see this being as big a thing as they're making it out to be? Because I don't.
No. I mean, okay, eventually it'd be cool. It's right. Like, oh, I just have one app and I open it and all my movies are there. I get that. But the fact that they opened with a gigantic library of 7,000 digital... I'm pretty sure I have close to half of that myself. 7,000 digital movies, that's your library of hundreds of thousands of films. And
this
you're
year alone.
You're bringing in... You're trying to draw people in. Movies Anywhere? Well, some Movies Anywhere. I don't understand the point of starting off with such a small selection. Also, their inducement is, oh, if you activate now, blah, 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 you'll get a digital copy of 2016 Ghostbusters, which why would you want that? And Ice Age. And if you want Ice Age, you've had it for 10 years.
Or more.
Oh, and add another one and you'll get Big Hero 6, which is cool. Jason Bourne, and the Lego Movie. Again, odds are you already have those. Why not just give you any of the gigantic library of 7,000, I mean, do you not have the real rights to these movies?
I guess
not. Why not just give you the selection of the 7,000? That makes no sense. Why not give you, oh, you'll get a new movie. You know, why
something
not give
you,
you
don't have?
Wonder Woman, Baby Driver, something that's just coming out instead of
something
movies you
out.
Don't want or already have. That makes no sense. I mean... Yeah, eventually, oh, this is kind of cool, but why this is huge news is...
I don't know.
...beyond me. It's like, yeah, that's cool, but this should be like a page 38, if you have a 38-page newspaper, and I don't know why you would, because that's a really weird number. Maybe because of the ad inserts.
Probably.
But, yeah, that's just really, really odd that this is...
Mention this just you know, below the Garfield cartoon.
Of course, actually, now it dawns on me. It's huge news because it's probably paid. Doesn't say it is, but it's probably paid placement. You know, it's just, oh, this is news you may want to know. And I was like, it's really an ad. It's like, okay, interesting, whatever.
It's kind of weird that thing is, it's a free app.
Yeah.
So.
It's being treated like Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And I mean, like this is earth breaking, ground shaking, whatever. It's not.
No, so it comes if you sign up and you hook in your first account, you get Ghostbusters from 2016. You're gonna have to pay me to take the app.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, do you have to take Ghostbusters in Ice Age? I don't want Ghostbusters in Ice Age.
I mean, of those five films, there are only two that I want, and I have those. So
convenient.
Yeah, imagine that. Just very, very strange. And again, it's not so much the app that's the issue.
No.
It's just the coverage of it. Like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. I was like,
it's the second coming of whatever the first coming was.
Yeah.
It is odd. And you, maybe?
Yeah, and you look at the comments and it's like, oh, there's no comment as to is there 4K and what is the resolution button. They're basically, there's very little technical detail whatsoever.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which, I'm sorry, I can't bring myself to care enough. So, big news of the week is we don't care.
Yay!
Actually, other big news, I guess, kind of, coming out of the box office, Blade Runner came out, and...
Really?
Interesting. It's a niche movie, and it did really good niche money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was not the massive blockbuster they were expecting, apparently. It is not... It's not immediately competing with Wonder Woman and Beauty and the Beast. Who knew? Oh, wait. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
However, and I'll admit, I haven't had the opportunity to get to a theater to see it yet, but you did. So
I did.
How was Blade Runner 2049?
I honestly think it is, or dishonestly even, I dishonestly think that it's fantastic. It's... easily one of my favorite science fiction movies ever, because so much is going on in this movie. I liked it better than the first movie, and I really, really liked the first movie, because there are so many storylines that all weave in together. Basically, the plot is there is someone who is out looking for replicants. Shocker, because that's the plot of the first one.
Go figure.
Ryan Gosling is the new Blade Runner, and he's looking for people. But here's the thing, again, like the first one, it delves into the question of, okay, at what point are replicants people? And it's also the question of, is this person a replicant? Is this a typical person? Just an example of one of the subplots. Gosling's character, Kay, or Joe, depending on at what point in the movie you're in. Different names. His girlfriend is...
Wait a minute, you're saying he's Jay and Kay, so he's both Men in Black.
Yes, he is.
Ah, clever.
And his girlfriend is an AI, is a program, a computer program, which... the movie Her was really good.
Hang on a minute.
Well done. Yes. However, this goes into more depth than Her did, and his girlfriend is represented as a hologram and is restricted to his apartment and in one particular projector that can swing around, so she can move around the apartment a little bit, but as a present, he gets a little portable device so she can move anywhere. He can even take her out of the apartment, which is cool. Yeah, they can, and they do, and then there are other upgrades that go along. But they have a real relationship, because the program is so well developed that it acts like a person. So you really get into the question of what is it that makes a human a human? And it does explore that to some extent, much better than a lot of movies that have looked at that same thing, and that's just a little subplot. It doesn't really affect the outcome of the film that much. It does to some extent. And I don't really want to go into any other detail other than that to spoil it, other than that if you like science fiction, you absolutely have to go see Blade Runner, because Blade Runner 2049 does use the premise, the science fiction plot, to examine what it's like to be a person, to examine questions that we have, like in our world now. That's what it does. And I know that sounds, ooh, really, hey, this is too heady, and I'm not going to get it. And yeah, exactly. But at the same time, it's a very cool detective story, and you follow it, and there are lots of twists and turns, and it's an action film, not a ton of action, but the action sequences that are there are great. There are great fight scenes, including the one when Harrison Ford actually belts Ryan Gosling. And it's so well done, I couldn't tell which one it was. So, it's Harrison Ford is excellent in this film. He shows up later in the film, I'll just say that. But it's not just some little one-off cameo. He's terrific in the film. Gosling is terrific in the film. It looks incredible. And unlike a lot of the films that have looked incredible this year,
Ghost in the Shell.
Thank you very much. I knew you were going to come up with that one.
Well, seeing as it was Blade Runner, except
except not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Blade Runner, except really, really good. You definitely want to see, if it's been a while, like 30 years, since you've seen Blade Runner, watch it again. It's available. It's out there. I think maybe it'll cost you a few dollars to stream, but watch it before you see this if you don't
watch it on Movies Anywhere.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Maybe.
Probably, if it's one of the 7,300 movies that they have available, and they're probably not smart enough to have done that. But
oops.
Blade Runner 2049 is just an incredibly good movie. I'm going to see it again next week because, as our good friend Ted had said, and I need to speak with Ted, and we may be speaking with Ted soon because he wanted to have us talk about on his show. But it's just an incredible, incredible movie, and you almost need to watch it more than once because there's so much going on in this movie. Don't fall asleep during this film at any point. You won't, unless you're Rob, because Rob fell asleep during the first one. But...
Well, it's not my fault.
But, yeah, it is an incredible, terrific, wonderful movie. It should be nominated for Best Picture. It won't be. Just because science fiction movies typically aren't. But, man, what an incredible piece of film artistry this is. I mean, it's just, it's perfect.
I have to ask you the one big question.
And I probably won't answer.
This is not a spoiler as such.
Oh, okay, as such.
What I want to know is...
Yes?
Because coming out of the first movie, the big question that, mm-hmm. that kind of loomed was... Is Deckard actually a replicant himself? And I'm not going to ask you if he is or isn't. I'm going to ask you if we actually find out.
Do they answer the question? I don't even want to answer that.
Fine, be that way.
So there. He has a dog.
Batu had a dog.
And there's a
Ghost in the Shell.
And there's a question as to whether or not the dog is a replicant.
Well, I don't care about the dog. There's a very good possibility that whether it's a replicant or not, I'm still allergic to it, so I can't bring myself to care about the dog.
It does answer a lot of questions, and okay. In some cases it answers questions, and then it changes the answer later as the film continues.
I hate people who do that. I mean, okay, good.
No, you think, oh, this is what happens, and this is how things are, and then, oh, no.
Plot twist.
Yeah, plot twist. But, I mean... Very well done, not just for the sake of having a plot twist, because it makes the film better. So as opposed to just, ha ha, we fooled you kind of crap.
That gets annoying after a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's an incredibly good film. And I hate to oversell movies because then you kind of set people up for disappointment. But I really can't imagine anyone going to this film and being disappointed if they liked the first one. Now, if they didn't like the first one, or they were just kind of okay with it, it's like, well, you know, that makes sense. It's just not your particular type of film. Because, as you said, this is not a huge crowd-pleasing kind of film. There's too much going on. It's a very intricate plot. This was never going to be, despite the fact that they budgeted like it was going to be a massive hit. And I'm glad they spent the money on it, but it's kind of, You guys do know how much money the first one made, right? Like, not much.
$1.95.
Yeah, basically. So, anyway, it is a terrific, terrific movie. And don't look at the box office and think, well, you know, must not be very good. No one's going to see it. It's like, for a long time, Home Alone was the top box office comedy of all time. And if you really think Home Alone is the funniest movie you've ever seen... Compared to every other
comedy.
You need
to get up more often.
Yeah, exactly. And not that it's a bad movie, but box office is hardly the final indicator of quality. Or sure as hell shouldn't be.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of which, you actually saw another movie that I suspect is not going to be in the top 10 this week.
Well, it might be in the top 10 just because
Well, actually, for lack of other things that are in the top.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not going to be a blockbuster, that's for sure.
Although, but I'm actually almost more interested in seeing this than I am Blade Runner, just because the concept I like.
Oh, this is also an excellent film. And at some point, I will actually say what movie we're talking about. But it couldn't be more different from Blade Runner. But it does have a tie-in to a film which was a huge box office hit, which is Wonder Woman. And the movie is Professor Marston and the Wonder Women, which is actually the origin story of, not of the character per se, but of the comic. This is about the person who created, or persons, perhaps is better put, who created Wonder Woman. And yes, he was indeed a professor. He was a Harvard professor of psychology. Also, just happens to be one of the co-inventors of the lie detector, which is interesting.
That's a bizarre combination.
It is. Well, it makes more sense as you go into it, as you watch the film, because the film is a wide...
Well, actually, no, now that I'm just now thinking about it, wait a minute, The Lasso of Truth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's where that came from. He had a theory of psychology which tied into dominance and submission. Dominance, inducement, submission, compliance. Those were his four basis of human behavior as he saw it. And Wonder Woman just gradually became an outgrowth of that, of his particular philosophy. He was married to a person who would have been a psychologist, except Harvard wouldn't give her doctorate because, ooh, you're a girl lady. We aren't going to do that for you. You have to take yours from Radcliffe.
That's annoying.
It starts in the 20s, and it's about their relationship, and they had a relationship with another young lady, and there has been talk about, oh, this isn't accurate, and there's no proof that the two women ever had any kind of a sexual relationship. They were just friends who lived together for the rest of their lives after Marston passed away, which, you know, people die. This started in the 20s, so shocker, he wound up dead. Amazing that how that happens, right? So not a spoiler alert. It's not like he gets hit by a truck in the middle of the movie, so calm down. And it doesn't matter.
There was
matter.
A shower scene with it. No, that was
yeah, it doesn't matter if they actually had a relationship or not, because it's not a documentary. It's a movie. It's a piece of fiction based on real life. So I don't care how accurate the details are. It's more just a tale of how this character came up. And when they first announced this, actually when they first were hyping Wonder Woman, my daughter, Kate, who has kind of an evil, funny mind, just constantly would talk about how bizarre the Wonder Woman character was when she first came up, because every comic Wonder Woman had some bondage scene in it, every single one, for years and years. And that's part of the film, is they're having a hearing with, it wasn't the Catholic Board of Decency, but something similar to that, and they're threatening to pull Wonder Woman off the shelves, all this, well, to ban it, et cetera, et cetera. And his response at one point was to, instead of cut the amount of bondage in half, as his publisher told him to do, to triple the bondage scenes.
Hey!
And they had an interesting life, the relationship between these three people. And if you're upset about, let's just say, alternative lifestyles, okay, this is not going to be your cup of tea either. Don't go see this movie. Like one person who reviewed it on Rotten Tomatoes and was just talking about how, oh my God, how awful. Just a viewer, not a critic. Oh, this is terrible. These people are terrible. It's like, maybe you should have looked into it just a tiny bit before you went to see it. And, you know, if you're going to take your Bible with you to the movies, well, then don't go to this particular movie. You should learn a little more about movies before you walk in the damn door.
The kind of people who would think, I'm going to go see 50 Shades of Grey because I think it's a documentary about Sherwin Williams.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
You know, and again, like the kind of people who complain, you know, oh, this movie is too violent for my children. It's rated R. Why did you take your 6-year-old, dumbass? Hello. Same concept. Anyway, if that kind of lifestyle bothers you, well, then don't go see it. You're going to hate it, so save yourself some money, stupid. However, if you have a relatively open mind, doesn't mean you have to endorse it, doesn't mean you have to go home and say, honey, how about moving in with the hot next door neighbor lady, you know.
I've got some new ideas, dear. No.
Yeah, exactly. But the acting is incredible. Rebecca Hall, who plays Mrs. Marsden, she is fantastic. I will be really pissed off if she's not nominated for an Oscar, because she deserves it, because she does an incredible job in this movie. It's a really, really good movie. It's a great examination of relationships. That's what it's about, and how complicated it can be, and how tough it is to live when society doesn't accept who you are and the pressures that puts you under. And it's also an interesting look at a character which is incredibly popular now, more so than ever, and how she started. And again, this is fictionalized, so I sincerely doubt that the scene, which really is like the genesis of the Wonder Woman character, ever happened. But,
or at least that way.
Yeah, but it's a documentary. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not a documentary. I just blew that. That was stupid. We'll cut this part out. It's not a documentary, so who cares? It's more entertaining. That's the point of a film that's fiction based on facts. When they first announced this film months ago, I thought this is going to be such a bizarre movie, because it just seemed like it was going to be so off the wall and weird. And in some ways it is, but the acting is so good and the script is so well done, and they treat the characters with so much respect. It's really fascinating. And this is not going to be making a whole lot of money, just because, talk about a niche movie, it's like, oh, this is about how if they decided to make a movie about Stan Lee and Jack Kirby sitting around one afternoon and coming up with Spider-Man, I don't see that movie making a ton of money, right?
Right.
And this is definitely far more out there. So this movie is never going to make a ton of money, but I really hope anybody who's interested in a movie about relationships goes to see this movie, because it's really, really well done. Excellent movie.
Just because we brought up Wonder Woman and DC Comics and everything, I want to throw this story out, because I don't know if you've ever heard this. Are you familiar with the character Power Girl?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who is... okay, and bear with me, because this is going to get slightly sexist, but there's a reason. What is the most, let's say, prominent feature that Power Girl has?
The Power Girl window in her costume.
Yeah, which reveals Everest and Kilimanjaro, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know why she's drawn that way?
I assume because they wanted to appeal to 12-year-old boys.
That's part of it. The other part, and I thought this was interesting, when she first got her own book, the artist, whose name has escaped me completely, was annoyed that the character, who they'd been doing a really good job of writing good stories for, wasn't getting a whole lot of attention. So gradually, over a year, he would make her breasts slightly larger in each issue, until they got to the point where the editors went, hang on a minute, when did those get that big? And by then they went, well, we're not shrinking them, so there, look at the sales, ha ha ha. Anyway, that's why she's drawn that way. I just found that story amusing and almost related to Wonder Woman.
It's almost as if Harvey Weinstein had created the character.
Well, you'd think, and yet, do you want to go into that already? I guess
we can. We can come back to it.
I was thinking we have a crime thing that you saw this week.
I have seen four episodes of it on Netflix. It's called Mindhunter, which is based on, I think, a 1976 book. Might have been a little later.
I'm actually really interested in this too, because
it's really good. It is not at all like watching Criminal Minds, for example, something like that, or any of the movies you've seen about profilers, because they're not on this desperate hunt to track down the person and solve the crime. Although there are a couple crimes solved and people brought to justice. It's much more about how the profiling unit came into being, how this worked. And it's kind of a background of how this all came to be. Kind of like the Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman thing, but without the kink. Although there is actually some of that in it, because it's, you know, anyway.
It's a Netflix series.
It's a Netflix series, so yeah, there are some sex scenes. So again, don't sit down and watch it with your six-year-old, because he's interested in serial killers, you freak. Because there's sex scenes, and, you know, we don't want to see that. The murder scenes are okay, of course.
Apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Anyway, but it is a really, really interesting look at how this all came to be, and the struggle that the lead character has, and that the partnership that he has with another FBI agent who is already in the behavioral sciences unit, but they weren't at the point where, well, basically the FBI was not interested in talking to killers that they'd already captured. They felt they're captured. There's nothing to learn from them. Why do we want to talk to these freaks? And these two agents thought, you know, maybe we can kind of learn what makes these guys tick. So maybe this will help us catch the freaks that are still out there. So, very interesting show. And again, it's not a procedural. There's not a ton of action. There's not as like, oh my God, let's, you know, look at the clock. Time's ticking away. What's going to happen next kind of thing. Although, it starts off with a scene very much like that, you know, a hostage negotiation situation, which is very compelling.
And to draw you in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Really, really good show. Good acting. Not like the best thing I've ever seen by any stretch of the imagination. And again, it's not a documentary, so probably played with the truth a little bit on this one, but it will mention, if you're a serial killer fan, it will mention some of your faves because they're in there. But again, these are people who are way back in the day, like Son of Sam, the co-ed killer, stuff like that. But really, John Douglas, that's the agent's name who wrote the book, which I actually read when it came out, which was a really interesting book, because again, it's the same story, and of how the FBI was very resistant to the concept of trying to learn how crazy thinks, as they put it in the series at one point, which, looking back at it, you kind of think, it was like, why on earth wouldn't they try to find that out? But that was just the thought process back then. So really cool. Wow. So very, very cool show. Definitely worth watching. Hopefully they renew it, because like I said, I'm only about halfway through, but I'm sure it will just continue to be a really good series. Very entertaining in a dark kind of way.
Which I guess does actually bring us back to the Harvey Weinstein thing.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, because Amazon's Roy Price was fired recently, mm-hmm, for the same thing. So Amazon's Roy Price is the new Harvey Weinstein, is the new Bill Cosby, is the new Black? What?
Yeah. Culturally, Bill Cosby was a bigger thing because, I mean, he's a cultural icon. Harvey Weinstein isn't. I mean, who the hell knows?
At least not as much.
Yeah. But as far as the influence on the industry, Weinstein is huge.
Yeah.
Because without Weinstein, the thing with Price wouldn't have happened. And so we're seeing the continuation of what started back with Roger Ailes and all the rest of it, and this keeps on going on, which is a very, very good thing. As far as the entertainment industry, it is having some odd repercussions. For instance, almost any production from the Weinstein Company, they're getting shelved. There's a film, Benedict Cumberbatch will eventually. He's playing Thomas Edison in a movie called The Current War. That's getting bumped. It probably won't be released this year at all. So there was early buzz that, this is an Oscar-worthy film, you know, the film itself or his performance. Looks like it's not going to happen, not this year. There are a couple series that Amazon dropped them. But again, Weinstein Company was producing these. They've decided, nope, we're not. One of them, they'd already spent $40 million in development, and that's axed. So this is having big repercussions just on the business side, and that's just... that's hardly the story, but I just wanted to mention that. So it's not just about the social aspect of it. The social aspect is like 100 times more important, of course.
Yeah.
There's an article in the Washington Post talking about basically how, you know, what's the approach? How do we solve this? And some people have said, well, you know, one person had said, well, we should follow the Mike Pence thing, which sounds ridiculous. But if you are never alone with a female, that does remove the possibility of one-on-one. One-on-one. It doesn't remove the possibility at all of any kind of harassment, but it just eliminates
Professor Marsden and the Wonder Women.
Yeah, exactly. It eliminates the he said, she said kind of aspect, which is ridiculous if that's what you have to do. And that there are different standards that people are talking about incorporating, which is good to help make sure this doesn't happen. The way you make sure it doesn't happen, though, is if you have a little boy, you teach him that little girls are people, too. Shocker. You might really want to teach your children that every other human they come into contact with has just as much value as they do. And then maybe they won't look on places like Puerto Rico and think of them as foreign countries. Or the U.S. Virgin Islands as another country, and that way when you
grow up to be... With a separate president?
Yeah, exactly. When you grow up to be president, you won't refer to the fact that you met the president of the U.S. Virgin Islands because you're so stupid you don't realize that you are the president of the U.S. Virgin Islands. Maybe you won't say...
That was funny, but...
Maybe you won't say things like, I can do anything I want, I can grab him by the pussy, and you can still get elected to be president. So it's not about setting rules to make sure it doesn't happen. It's about teaching people not to be predatory scum bastard jerks. Maybe that's a thought. Maybe you shouldn't accept when people say, oh, it's okay to grab a woman and claim that she likes it, or actually say that there's nothing she can do about it. Just a thought that maybe the problem goes deeper than the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Just a thought. So let's not worry so much about setting up rules on how we can have meetings. Let's talk about when people demonstrate predatory behaviors by their actions that they claim or by the speeches that they make, that we hold them accountable for that and not just dismiss it as locker room talk. Because frankly, why is anything that Harvey Weinstein has done, which includes allegations of rape, which I have no doubt he did because there's a lot of allegations,
yeah,
like Bill Cosby, why isn't that just locker room talk? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Grabbing someone by their genitalia kind of sounds like sexual assault. So I'm not sure why that is dismissed as locker room talk and then other people are potentially facing jail time, as they should. I don't really see that disconnect. So if you are outraged over Harvey Weinstein and you voted for a particular person who doesn't realize that he is the president of various U.S. territories, maybe you should take a look at your own thought process. Again, Weinstein needs to go away for a very long time, like until he's dead, if these allegations are true, and there's no reason to think they're not. Bill O'Reilly
should be in the same cell.
You know, there are a lot of people out there. And in a way, I'm kind of, well, I'm not glad that Weinstein did this, but I'm glad it came out because it shows that just because you have liberal politics doesn't mean that you're a good person. No, you can be a total piece of crap scumbag too. So let's take politics out of it and think about how the standards that we hold people to and think really deeply about that. And not just point to, oh, this person's terrible. It's like the behavior is terrible, regardless of who's doing it. And don't be so dismissive of it's just locker room talk, because locker room talk turns into action outside of the locker room.
Yeah.
And it just, it's infuriating that people say, oh, well, this is the way to handle it. And it's like, handle it because people deserve to be treated as human beings, regardless of their gender or race or religious beliefs. Just stop thinking that you're better than everybody else. That's what it stems from.
Yes, I will agree.
Anyway,
meanwhile,
not very entertaining, but I feel better.
Well, here I'll bring this up. I looked up the whole Time Magazine did a whole overview of the entire situation including Rose McGowan, who said she was one of the women who got raped, who, strangely, when she talked about it on Twitter, had her Twitter account suspended.
Oh, how dare she?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, there's this other guy who just about started World War III over Twitter. Why isn't his account suspended?
Well, that's not inflammatory.
But
apparently.
No, it's literal flammatory.
Yeah, exactly.
But Time Magazine, I think, did mess up one substantial thing. Because you know how they have the related stories section as you go through? A lot of websites have this. You're reading about Porsche. Would you like to read this article on Ferrari? I get that. In this one, it's you're reading about Harvey Weinstein and his sexual escapades and whatever. Would you like to read this story about how Tamagotchis are coming back?
Like, sure.
Are you sure that these are... So, moving on from bad news, let's go to something good. Universal Studios still owns the rights to the Incredible Hulk in as far as using him in a solo movie, which means we're probably not going to see Mark Ruffalo play the Hulk in a standalone Hulk movie. However, Ruffalo says that the next three movies that Marvel's putting out, the next massive three movies, being the upcoming Thor Ragnarok and Avengers 3 and 4, are basically going to be a big Hulk trilogy with a lot of Hulk stuff going on. Do you think that makes up for not having a standalone Hulk movie if they do it correctly and not just make it a whole, you know, Hulk with everybody else in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the background?
I'm okay with that because I don't really want to see another standalone Hulk movie until I get my damn Black Widow standalone movie.
Okay.
They've had two standalone Hulk movies already. And, I mean, I liked both of them.
Well, only one of them was in the MCU, but yes.
Which is true. But the other one does exist. So it's not like it's not out there.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of, there are other characters they need to do before they do that. I mean, I love what they are doing with the Hulk character, with the evolution of the character. It's cool that he's going to be a central figure. I'm happy with that. But I would be fine if they don't do a standalone Hulk movie for 20 years, because there's been a lot of the character out there, as opposed to, can we please, you know?
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah, that's, I'm fine with that.
Let's see, other movies, other movie news. Halloween is coming up and
is
getting some new movies based on the Halloween series, the Mike Myers thing. No, not Shrek.
Or the Love Guru.
And yet, no. The Halloween new movies are going to ignore Halloween 2 and go off in a different direction. They said it's going to be kind of a parallel universe story, and Jamie Lee Curtis will be involved.
I hope they... Well, that's very cool. I hope they really ignore Halloween 3, which had nothing to do.
Supposedly they will.
With Halloween, because that was totally different. Yeah, that's fine. Are they going to ignore Halloween H2O and
Jesus? It's my understanding that they're going from one, and instead of turning left at the fork in the road, they're going to go right and ignore all the sequels.
Are we going to get a digital Donald Pleasance? That would be awesome. Just for a cameo. That would make me happy. I really don't like this whole stuff of the digital recreations, but that would be slick, because Donald Pleasance was so important to that film. So that would be nice. Just a scene. Maybe just have a picture of him somewhere. That would be nice, too.
And I don't know if you noticed this past Friday the 13th, which was yesterday. October Friday the 13th. How big and spooky today, I guess. The Halloween theme was remixed by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails and Atticus Ross of pretty much of Nine Inch Nails as well. It came out completely remixed, and if you find the full version, it's good. I'm going to warn you about the Amazon preview. Because this is actually it's like a 7-minute song. It is the full theme.
Nice.
And if you want to listen to the whole thing, like I said, find it on YouTube where they released it, and that's fine. And it sounds good. But if you go find the site I did that said, you can catch a preview of it on Amazon. And I went, okay, I'll catch a preview of it on Amazon. Click. The preview is 30 seconds long. The first 15 of it is static.
Okay, that's interesting.
Well, that's the way the theme starts. The second 15 seconds is three notes that don't really go well together.
Mm.
Love you, Trent, but do a better version of the preview. Or Amazon, hello, what were you thinking with this? So ignore this preview and go for the full version on YouTube.
Interesting. Which, by the way, just a shout out to John Carpenter, who, of course, also composed the theme. Because he composed the theme of a lot of his, he scored a lot of his films, which I missed. I was rewatching The Thing, not the remake, not the prequel, and not the old 50s one, which is a really good movie.
But nothing to do with Ben Grimm.
But right, which, yeah, good thing too. But Carpenter's classic film. And for some reason, I just had kind of assumed that he had scored it and had forgotten that Ennio Morricone, who did the fantastic composer of all the spaghetti westerns, scored The Thing, which the music is so important to that because it's so oppressive and just kind of just makes you feel closed in, and it's a really creepy, scary theme, and it's really very, very, very cool. Really like the score for that. So anyway, yes, I will go after our show, I will go listen to Trent Reznor's version, because I'm sure it's very, 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 very cool. He does some very cool stuff.
Let's see. There was a bunch of trailers that came out this week, and some that should have, but didn't.
I'm sad.
I'll get to those in a minute. I guess the big one of the week, the Last Jedi trailer. The last of the Last Jedi trailers. And I don't know if you saw this. Rian Johnson, the director of the movie, came out and said, if you want, don't see this trailer.
Yeah.
And I kind of went, wait, what? He tried to clarify this later by saying, if you want to be completely surprised going into the movie, don't see the trailer. Oh, well, isn't that true of any trailer?
Yeah.
I would think. And he went on to say, oh, I watch all the trailers anyway. Don't listen to me. I'm like, oh, you just shut up. And on with the trailer. It looked good. I just had two questions. One is the Imperial Walkers, which have been brought back, which I think is good. Why do they – I don't know if you noticed this. They have that whole monkey ape thing going on with their front legs. Did you notice that?
I'm not sure. That's that's not a thing.
They're walking on the backs of their hands, basically, is what it looks like, which is kind of odd. But that's me being picky. The other thing that I didn't like was Kylo Ren in his TIE fighter, jeez, what's wrong with me today? Without a helmet. And I'm sorry, I read as much of the extended universe stuff to know that the reason they wear the armor in the TIE fighter is because the TIE fighters do not have atmospheric generators. You have to wear a space suit in the TIE fighter.
Kylo Ren flying around. Maybe they just upgraded the TIE fighter so he doesn't need to wear the helmet. Dramatically, he needs to wear the helmet. This is such a terrible choice. This is one of the reasons I can't say I don't like the Awakening film, but it's one of the problems I have with it. And
he looks like a baby Snape from Harry Potter.
He's so whiny the entire time, and I get that. Okay, he's growing into his role as the big bad. That's fine. I think that's a mistake also. But okay, if that's what they're doing, fine, whatever. But would Darth Vader have been nearly as fearsome if you had seen him with his helmet off most of the time from the very first film?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking no, especially if they went with whoever played the grandfather weird-looking Wizard of Oz type character at the very end.
Sebastian Shaw. I know the answer to that one.
It's not the Sebastian Shaw I'm thinking of. But anyway.
No, that's the guy Sebastian from the Hellfire Stan. Club and the X-Men movies.
Yeah. Anyway, he doesn't.
And that's why I remember it, because they have the same name. Anyway.
There you go. He doesn't strike any fear into anyone's heart, because he's just this guy, and he's this young guy, and he's this whiny guy. And granted, he can whine with a helmet on, but maybe it would make him feel like more of a badass, and he wouldn't be such a little whiny punk. I think it's a terrible mistake to constantly show him, he's got a scar, so now he's badass. No, he just got his
He's got butt a Band-Aid kicked. Over the scar, too, which is...
Yeah, and he got his butt kicked by a novice. It's like, yeah, he's so badass. He's been training virtually all his life, and he got the crap beat out of him by someone who, I don't know, realized she had the Force for, 15 minutes? Longer than that, but still. It's ridiculous. And here they're continually to disarm this character. Maybe we're not supposed to be afraid of him. And if that's the big reveal, is like, oh, he was just a pawn, which in reality, Darth Vader was just a pawn. I mean, he did answer to Grand Moff Tarkin, who answered to the Emperor. It's like, okay, I get that, if that's what they're doing. But again, that's a stupid choice. It's a very, very poor choice to continually show this guy without his helmet, and the helmet doesn't look that great anyway. Maybe that's what they're thinking. It's like, helmet kind of sucks, because it does. I'm not really on board with what they have done. It's miles ahead of the god-awful prequels, but The Force Awakens was just the first movie rehashed. There wasn't anything really all that different or interesting in it for me. It was like, oh, okay, the plot points are the same. It's like you change the characters around, but okay, fine, whatever. And the big villain is a whiny punk who doesn't scare anybody. I mean, kids were terrified of Darth Vader. It's like, who the hell is scared of this guy? He sucks.
Vader, I think, is, in a recent survey, the number two scariest villain in the history of movies, behind weirdly Cruella de Vil.
Yeah. And he constantly shows up as one of the top villains of all time. Mm-hmm. Where does this guy show up? 500, maybe?
If.
For fifth graders? I mean, I don't care about this character.
I don't either, really.
He's and it's not the actor. It's the writing. It sucks. The direction sucks. Again, not using the helmet.
It's not that bad.
It is that bad. That's why
it's not as good as it should be. But I don't know.
No, that particular character. Yeah. I did enjoy the movie, but there's no sense... To me, there's no real sense of
danger
or threat, because
danger,
the guy,
Will Robinson. Danger. Yeah.
The standalone film had a better villain, and he was basically a freaking administrator.
True.
It's like, he was so low on the totem pole. He's meaningless. If he got killed off, okay, whatever. The New Order, whatever the hell they call it, they wouldn't even have blinked if that guy gets killed off or when he... Whatever. I'm not even going to spoil that for you if you haven't seen the movie that came out last year. But unless they fix this, this is bigger than the Iron Fist debacle level to me.
Ouch.
Because the character is so poorly done. And again, it's not the actor. It's the way it's written and the way it's filmed. It's like, turn this guy into the badass. You better do it. And that includes the fact that he offs a very important character, and if somehow you haven't seen the movie, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but he does something which is just, maybe one of the most bad acts, as in evil acts, in the entire Star Wars opus, and it still doesn't really make him a badass.
Nope.
So it's like, fix it, because until you fix it, I'm not invested, because he doesn't scare me. He's just this whiny 15-year-old, and he's not 15, but that's what he acts like.
Unfortunately.
And that's what he looks like, because he's got his helmet off all the damn time.
Let's go to another... Okay, this one is not so much a trailer as it is a commercial. And I love this. It was a tie-in between... Oh, crap, I forgot. Was it Gillette?
Gillette, yeah.
Yeah. Gillette and the forthcoming Justice League movie. And if you have the opportunity to see this commercial, go right ahead.
Not now. You're listening to us. Now.
Wait till the end of the show.
Yeah, there you go.
They're talking about how how to build a razor for the next generation of superheroes. And it goes through the whole Justice League with how do you make a razor for Flash? How do you get razor burn at Mach 25?
Yeah.
There's a picture of Superman's costume saying, oh, no, with the Superman project, we don't need to do that anymore. He's dead. how do you make a razor for Batman? He's got everything. You paint it black. Oh, okay.
It's just very funny.
Cleverly done commercial, and it's got a big tie-in for the Justice League.
And it looks good.
It does.
And they're selling Justice League gift packs. Ooh, who knew that was coming? This ad has more fun in it than the entire Batman v Superman movie did. Absolutely. And it's, what, 30 seconds?
It's a full minute.
Oh, is it a full minute?
It is a full minute.
The Justice League kit has one razor and two cartridges, one shave gel, one aluminum zirconium. Okay, that's just what's inside it. Right. One deodorant.
A cubic and zirconium? One, what?
Yeah, exactly. So, has a razor, has two cartridges, a shave gel, deodorant, and body wash. So,
Batman not included.
And Batman is not included, although he is quite large. And apparently, according to Gillette, Superman will be in the movie because he's on the box of Justice.
Ooh. We know he's in the movie.
Someone was naughty. They put Superman on there. And he still looks constipated. So, yeah. I guess he's still angry. That's sad.
I think that's something they've at least done correctly. We know who's going to be in the movie.
Yes.
Beforehand. As opposed to, let's say, another movie that had a trailer this week called The New Mutants, which came out Friday, October 13th, the scariest day of the world. And so this is a horror movie set in the X-Men universe using allegedly the characters from the comic The New Mutants, which was created at a time just after the whole Brood storyline in the X-Men comics, where everyone thought the X-Men were dead, so they recruited a new team, thus calling them the New Mutants. Ooh, heh, see? Cute. Works.
How about that?
And by the way, that is Brood is in the large, big alien things, not Gangrel, Edge, and Christian from the WWF.
Aw, too bad. I really like Gangrel. He's appearing locally next month.
Hey, go get an autograph for me.
Nope, not gonna go.
Anyway, the New Mutants movie is set up to be a horror movie with the mutant characters being most of the same characters from the book. Karma is for some reason missing, except in the fact that you're going to see it in the box office, because one thing they forgot to put in
clever
in this movie, or at least in the trailer, were any of the New Mutants using any of their abilities.
That's a good idea.
There is absolutely no sign. I mean, they mention, do you know what a mutant is? Other than that, it just looks like a horror movie. None of the characters show any signs of being able to do anything. And now it looks like a good horror movie. They stole Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall Part 2, the creepy children in the background, and they made them creepier. Other than that, no. It just looks like a horror movie. And I'm going to go out on a limb and predict a spoiler. So if you don't want to know this, come back in a whopping 15 seconds. One of the characters in the movie is Dani Moonstar. Her ability is to create illusions. Now, one of the things in this movie is lots of illusions that look like they're attacking people. So it's really going to turn out to all be Dani. She did it. You can listen again. That's just my prediction.
It's interesting that Fox does, overall, they do such a god-awful job.
They do.
With their, I mean, they have done some decent X-Men films. I mean,
scenes. They've done some decent X-Men scenes.
X2 was good, and that's only about 150 years old. And Deadpool was good, and Logan was good, although it certainly could have been much better. Yes. But it's, you would kind of think they would remember to show that these characters are, have superpowers when you're doing a superpower horror movie. And so people would see the trailer and they'll realize, I mean, yeah, it's granted, it's called New Mutants, but you're also dealing with a lot of people who probably don't even realize those are X-Men characters.
Yeah. I mean, the term mutant doesn't necessarily mean X-Men.
Yeah, exactly. And in the horror universe, the overall universe of horror, I mean, the mutants are typically, you know, weird, pasty white creatures that live underground somewhere and they eat people, because that's usually how it works out. So that's kind of a really big mistake to be making a X-Men-based horror movie and then not make it clear that these are X-Men in the trailer, because otherwise it just looks like a bunch of teenagers trying to escape, which is about one-third of all horror movies.
Yeah.
You're really not setting yourself out there. And of course, it's the first trailer, and they can fix that. There's plenty of time. But it just, again, Fox just continues to miss the mark so often. It's really, really, really odd.
No. You mentioned time. That's something that we're still, you know, there's still plenty of before the next two movies that I'm going to mention come out, but a lot of people have been wondering where the trailer for the Infinity War is, because we saw footage at Comic-Con, you know, through YouTube, because we couldn't afford to go. It was announced this week from Marvel Studios Vice President Louis Desposito. Desperado? What? Anyway.
Good song.
Said, it's still being worked on because the special effects weren't completely finished. Now, it's going to be coming soon, although it's not coming out with Thor. So people are thinking, because Disney owns Marvel, and what's that other big movie they have coming out this year? Oh, yeah, Star Wars. That's where it's going to be, attached to Star Wars. I like the idea.
Gives them another month.
Don't attach it to Star Wars. Because before Star Wars comes out, there's a movie that comes out the week before that. Attach it to Justice League. Find a way to do that. Just, wouldn't that be beautiful?
It would be beautiful. And I can't remember which DC film it was, but there was a trailer for a Marvel property before DC film that I've seen recently. It might have been Wonder Woman. Maybe it was back on Suicide Squad. But, I mean, that's up to the theater chains as well, too. So it would make perfect sense. Although, why not? Why not?
And Ragnarok, when it comes out, well, for the rest of, this annoys me. For the rest of the world, it's this month. For the United States, where the character was created, next month. And you wonder why piracy happens.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
hello.
As you've said before multiple times, and go ahead and say it right now.
Yeah, release, stupid.
Release, yeah, release them all on the same damn day worldwide. That's ridiculous. If you don't want piracy to happen,
yeah, it's an easy way of stopping.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
Not all, a good chunk. Anyway, sure. Ragnarok is supposed to have a Black Panther trailer in front of it.
Beautiful.
So that's cool.
Yeah, very cool. Because and again, going back to music, and it's kind of weird, but
okay,
that's one of the most exciting. And I know it's odd, but to me, one of the most exciting things about the Black Panther trailer that's out is the music at the end. It has a completely different vibe from any other superhero film I've seen. And, I mean, and it's just a little bit of simple percussion, but it helps establish this is a totally separate world from what you've seen, other than just a couple little pieces in films. But you're going to get immersed in it, and I really, really like that. That's very cool.
And now we come to a section of our show that I call Any Comments? There's quite a few things to go through this week. We've got Gillian Anderson is leaving the X-Files after this season. Do you care?
Considering that I didn't really enjoy the relaunch, reboot, whatever, no. Okay. Which makes me sad, because I really wanted to, because I really enjoyed the X-Files for like the first six seasons, and it was okay. It wasn't bad, but it was just they didn't recapture it for me. Just like, I don't really care if she doesn't come back. Actually, it's a good thing, because if she doesn't come back, maybe they'll just say, you know what,
And we're done.
And we're again, there will be a second season. That's the second season is already done.
Yeah.
It's just she's not coming back. She's already said she's not coming back for a third, or she's not interested. And why would she not be interested? My guess is because the writing just doesn't really grab her attention. She's got better things to do. I would think that if the writing was as good as it was in the original series, why wouldn't you come back? A nice paycheck and a fun paycheck. And right. If it's not enjoyable, why the hell do it? So, you know, good decision on her part.
Similar news. Actor Victor Garber is leaving Legends of Tomorrow to do Hello, Dolly! On Broadway. He plays the character Martin Stein, who is half of the character Firestorm, which makes me wonder if they're getting rid of the character of Firestorm or how they're going to do that, because he's a binary character.
Which, and that's an interesting character, and I've seen some of the show, and the show just doesn't... Shows never really grabbed my attention. I don't really care. That's an interesting character, and he's a cool part of it.
He's one of the few characters I actually really do like on it.
But yeah, he is a very interesting character. And I, despite the fact that there are a lot of secondary DC characters that are on that show, the show's not interesting enough for me. I just don't really care about it. I've seen probably 3 episodes, and... Nope, not for me.
I was amused to catch my wife watching the movie version of the Broadway play Godspell, where he played Jesus wearing a Superman shirt. It just amused me.
That is interesting. Maybe he's going to go back and play God and be Godspell again.
I don't know. They announced a release date for the Channing Tatum-led Gambit movie. It's going to be Valentine's Day 2019.
Sure,
I have lost all interest in this movie.
I never was interested because I don't really care about the character Gambit. I don't think it's worth a standalone picture. He was never that interesting a character in the comics to me. So, okay, fine. Yay. Sure, it's coming out in 2019. Sure it is.
Sure it is. It's only been delayed every other week.
Yeah, 2039, played by his grandson. Okay, I buy that news. I find that to be more credible than this thing is actually going to get released in this decade.
Well, in similar news, writer Mike, and bear with me on this, Vukadinovich.
I like it.
You know, I think I might have gotten that right. Is scheduled to be rewriting Beetlejuice 2, which has been in production hell almost as long as Gambit has. Do you think they're ever going to get around to making this?
They better hurry up.
You'd think.
Yeah. I mean, Keaton's got plenty of time, and he certainly has the chops, and it's not that, oh my God, he couldn't possibly play Beetlejuice because now he's 63. I'm not saying he's 63 now, but I'm just, you know, there's not exactly a timeline ticking on it. It's not Indiana Jones. But you kind of need to get this going soon.
You know what?
He is 63.
He's 66.
Oh, well, there you go. But
so you missed the 63 deadline.
usually I get it by 2 years, if you ask Lee. Usually it's 2 years instead of 3. So I screwed that up.
Well, no, he's only been that way for a month and a half. A month.
But he just played the Vulture.
Yeah.
At the age of 65. Maybe he was 64 when they started shooting. So and Beetlejuice is... There's not that much action that's involved
in
Vulture, and he is dead anyway. So, again, not critical that they get this going now, because, again, it's not Harrison Ford trying to play Indiana Jones as the lead and tons of action sequences, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, it would be nice to get it going while Michael Keaton can still play it, because if Michael Keaton's not playing it, I don't want to see it at all.
For God's sake, don't get Jim Carrey to replace him.
Oh, for the love of God.
I made that up, I hope.
Yeah, please.
There's a movie coming up about... it's a biopic on Dick Cheney, because, of course, we need that. Speaking of horror films. Now, in this movie, Tyler Perry has been cast as Colin Powell. And... I'm sorry, but every time I think Tyler Perry, I think of his most famous character, Medea. So now I'm picturing Colin Powell in drag. Was that absolutely necessary? I mean, no offense to Tyler Perry or anybody, but
I have
that's
seen
where him. My head went. Sorry.
I have seen him in a few films where he's not playing Medea.
I have too.
And he's
where
very
my head
good.
Goes first.
And he's very good. And I wish to God he would stop playing Medea, because the trailers just make me wretch because they look so stupid. Just God, that character's yuck. I mean, he's a very good actor. He is. For whatever reason, he enjoys. Well, I know why he enjoys playing Medea, because it costs him next to nothing to do it, and it's just a fact. Yeah, it's his personal ATM. He's like, oh, I need a few extra $1 million. I'll just do another damn Medea movie. There you go. There's the next Medea. Another damn Medea movie. I would not be a bit surprised if that's not the title of the next Medea movie, because why not?
But then you know where the money needs to go, because Todd just named it.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, I might go see it if it was called Another Damn Medea Movie. That would make me happy. I kind of hate to see him not get opportunities to actually do something worthwhile, because right. people tie him into the Medea characters, but they do. For good reason, because he's played Medea about 700 times. I mean, I kind of wonder at this point if he doesn't wear makeup and wear dresses all the time, because he's Medea. And if he does, that's fine. I don't care. I just don't find the movie's funny. I could care less that he's in drag. I don't.
See, I'm trying to figure out if this is supposed to be a comedy biopic or not.
I cannot imagine.
Well, listen to the rest of this cast. Christian Bale, Batman, is playing Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney, yeah.
Okay.
And Christian Bale, of course, will gain like 87 pounds to play Dick, because he does, because he's a freak. Yeah.
Sam Rockwell is playing George Bush. Steve Carell is playing Donald Rumsfeld.
And that really sounds like a comedy, doesn't it?
Will Ferrell is in it somewhere. So is Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And Bill Pullman.
Okay. Every one of those actors,
Amy Adams as Lynn Cheney.
Does really well with comedy. Not saying they're better known for it, but Brad Pitt is excellent in comic roles, let alone Carell. And Carell has done some serious work, and of course so has Tyler Perry.
I mean, they all have.
But they're all extremely good comic actors. I kind of like the idea of a comic take on Dick Cheney.
Colin Powell can dress up as Medea.
Yeah. Interesting. I would go see that just to have a comic take, and hopefully he is portrayed as this evil mastermind who, you know, has his hand in George Bush's back at some point, making his mouth.
Christian Bale, not Medea, hopefully.
Yeah. Interesting. But when you mentioned Jim Carrey possibly playing Beetlejuice, which that terrifies me, because Jim Carrey has not been funny for about a decade. It reminds me of another film I saw, which about someone else who has not been funny for about a decade, but starring someone else who's not been funny for about a decade.
Right.
It could be worse. It could be Jamie Kennedy.
No.
Yeah. Talk about someone who I can't imagine people ever laughed at him in grade school, let alone ever. I mean, good God. So, yeah, it could be god-awful. So,
how about some good news then?
Yes, please.
Taika Waititi. Mm-hmm. Who is the? I'm hoping I pronounced that correctly too. Guy who did Thor Ragnarok, which everyone says is going to be awesome, is in talks to direct the Akira movie, which has been longer gestating than Beetlejuice 2 and Gambit.
Gambit. Mm-hmm.
But he says he wants to do something radical. He wants to do it with an all Asian cast.
What?
No Leonardo DiCaprio as Tetsuo.
How dare he?
Because that's where it takes place, damn it. Why not?
How dare this criminal director from New Zealand actually want to...
follow the script?
Yeah, because, you know, there are no actors of Asian heritage. I mean, so how could you possibly make a film with not using a bunch of white people? I don't understand the concept. Hey, wow. Doesn't work for me. Just doesn't work. I don't get it.
How's this? Doctor Who is changing its format a little bit.
Interesting.
They've been doing, 12 or 13 episodes a season at about 45 minutes each since they restarted in 2005. This time, they're only doing about 10 episodes for this season, but each episode is going to be a full 60 minutes.
So basically the same screen time.
Right.
Just in longer chunks. I wonder why they're...
There was actually no real reason given, but you know what? I'll take it. I kind of like the idea.
Yeah. Fewer stories, for one thing.
As long as the stories are good. Other thing I really like, Batman, the animated series, is coming to Blu-ray next year.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yes. Because that was an awesome series.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Beautiful.
Not necessarily good news, though. Well, this is a different story. Batman is good news.
Batman is awesome news.
Jared Leto appearing in Tron 3, if that ever gets out of development hell. good idea, bad idea? Indifferent? It could go either way as far as I'm concerned.
Indifferent. I mean, he was awful in Suicide Squad. But again, a lot of that was his personal choices where he took the character. But again, the plot was not the best. He is in Blade Runner 2, 049. Yeah. And he's very good in that. I don't care. I mean, hopefully he's good at it. I'll just put it. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I did watch late last night because I wanted to watch it because it apparently, I think, it just popped up on Netflix now, as in yesterday. The Meyerowitz stories, which was the darling of the film circuit festival, actually at Cannes, and
that one,
big hit. It has great ratings on Rotten Tomatoes, has great, like 92% on Rotten Tomatoes and 7.3 on IMDb, which is individual people. And this is the movie that Adam Sandler is getting rave reviews for. I liked it. It's a good movie. It's from Noah Baumbach, the director, and also wrote it. He did The Squid and the Whale, a few other like smaller films. It's a comedy drama. It's about three adult children. Comedy? Yeah, one of those things. It's a dramedy. Or a really dark... It's not so much a dark comedy as a comedy drama. But anyway, Dustin Hoffman is the father figure. Ben Stiller, Adam Sandler, they're the two sons, and an actress who I can't recall her name because she's not of the same stature. Sorry, but she isn't. Of the two co-stars, and it's their relationship with their dad, and they have a difficult relationship with their dad. And she's so important that they list 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cast members, and she's not listed in the 5 cast members, so there you go. So now I don't feel so bad about it. Anyway, it's interesting. It's a good movie. I definitely watch it if you like, again, movies about relationships. Adam Sandler, though, he has a couple of good scenes. Other than that, he plays the character he has played for 10 years now. He plays the raging man-child who goes into fits and starts cursing when he gets pissed off at things, which is okay, but it's the same thing he does in everything. And it's like, why is he getting rave reviews? Because he actually acted in a couple scenes?
This is not
Punch Drunk Love, and he was terrific in that. This is not Spanglish. He was terrific in that. I mean, he actually acted. He's basically playing the same frickin' boring-ass character he constantly does. There are two or three songs in it, which, if he didn't write them, are the kind of songs that he did for Saturday Night Live back in the day, silly little songs. They even go back to one later on for no damn reason. They're not particularly funny. They're not particularly interesting. They don't really move the plot along. It's almost as if it's like, hey, I kind of would like to put one of my little songs in here. Can I think it'd be kind of? And they said, yeah, okay, Adam, fine, whatever. He sucks. He still sucks. He is not the reason to watch this at all. Dustin Hoffman is excellent in this. His character is interesting. He's he is a prick, as Adam Sandler's character puts it in one point. And Ben Stiller's very good in it. Everyone is good except Adam Sandler. And it's not so much that he's bad. It's just it's the same freaking thing you've seen Adam Sandler do with less awful jokes. So do not see the Meyerowitz stories because, oh, Adam Sandler's actually good. And no, he's not. But Dustin Hoffman's good. Ben Stiller's good. Emma Thompson has a smaller part. She's very good. But yeah, this... I don't understand the rave reviews for it because it's a good movie. It's not Rolling Stone, Pete Travers, the Meyerowitz stories is flat out brilliant. It's like, Pete, stop inhaling at the office. And I doubt that they're doing that anymore at the Rolling Stone, but it's like, no, it's not, man. It's a good movie. And that's as far as it goes. Elizabeth Marvel, that is the actress who I could not think of. And my apologies to Elizabeth Marvel. She's very good in the film, but you know, I get that Adam Sandler is a nice guy, and apparently he does nice things for people, and I understand that people want to like his work. I would be thrilled if he made something good for once, because again, The Wedding Singer is one of my favorite movies, and I think he's fantastic in that movie because he's such a nice character at the core, and he shows very few of those really irritating freaking mannerisms that he's brought into every damn movie. It's like, it's not entertaining to see you blow up at someone in traffic over and over and over, because yeah, that defines every character you always do. You always get to the point where, oh my God, I'm so angry, I can't take it anymore. And and he just starts cursing. And it's like, and again, I don't care about
turned into a Muppet.
Yeah. It's, he is actually compared to a Muppet at one point in the movie.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah, and not surprisingly, it's Animal. And it's just, it's tiring to see him do the same shtick over and over because it's not funny. It's not entertaining. It's like, dude, you are capable of doing something much better than this. And why don't you do it? That's what I don't... And like I said, he has a couple scenes where he actually acts, but it's not groundbreaking. Like, oh my God, this is Oscar-worthy, and I know some... people are actually saying that, which again, I don't know what they were ingesting, but it was something really good. I would like to get some of it myself, because if it's that mind altering that it makes you think Adam Sandler was good in a movie, yeah, I would like to get that, because you need some serious departure from reality to think that. Again, watch the movie, it's a good movie, but no, you're not going to be shocked by how great Adam Sandler is. Unless you're drunk or stoned or I don't know what.
Crazy enough to sign up for the Global Wrestling Network streaming service?
What?
Oh, now he's channeling Adam Sandler again. No, that was actually, you know, that was actually launched this week, and I was curious enough to look at it, and it wasn't until the third page on their website that they told you it cost $8 a month.
Oh, that's not good.
I thought, you know what? Nah, I'll be fine.
Is this tied into Impact?
Yes, it is.
Mm. Well,
Impact
then.
Impact Wrestling, formerly known as TNA Wrestling, formerly known as Global Wrestling, Global Force Wrestling, formerly known as NWA Wrestling. Yeah.
Back when it was good. Back when it was good.
Yeah.
So they've just rebranded the same. Oh yeah, Impact matches where they show Sting. That's there. Is that Kurt Angle that Sting is kicking?
It could be.
Yeah, it looks like. So that's the best they have to offer. They're showing that.
No,
as,
they had considerably better than that.
But that's what they choose to show on their little banner.
Unfortunately,
like,
yes.
Not a good decision there, guys. Yeah, we show two people who are 10 years past their prime. I want to watch that. This is like the scripted version of Bellator, which that's about all they show. It's people who are past their prime or not good enough to make it in the UFC, and that's just the reality of it. Speaking of subscription services, though, I do want to mention MoviePass. We have talked about it before.
Yes.
Go to MoviePass.com, sign up, be prepared to wait 3 weeks to get your card. But basically, it's a subscription service to go see movies at the movie theater as opposed to streaming them at home. If you like to go to the movies, this is absolutely the way to do it. It's $9.95 a month. It is one film per day. So that is 30 films a month, or 31, or maybe 28, depending which month you're in. No 3D films. But other than that, no restrictions as to, oh, just like they do with passes. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, this is a special engagement, blah, blah. No, it's just, if it's a 2D, a typical film, not IMAX, not 3D, but go see it. I tried it at Regal. No problems. I tried it at AMC, which AMC was squawking about it because they're crying that, well, when it doesn't work, then people will be angry because they don't want to pay full price for movies. And no problems. And I tried it at more of an independent, a smaller chain. No problems. I would not walk up to the box office and say, hey, do you guys take this? Don't call attention to the fact, because maybe one of their managers actually read a memo and maybe they're not supposed to take it. So don't do that. Just hand it over. It's a debit card like any other debit card. It says MoviePass on it, but they're not going to pay attention to that. You do have to download the app because you have to check in to the movie. But it's basically like Flixster or anything else. So you pull up the app. You pull up the theater that you're going to. You have to be within 100 yards of the movie theater when you check in to that particular screening of that particular film. So, for instance, when I went to see Blade Runner 2, 049, I checked into the Regal Theater, and I checked into the 7:10 p.m. showing of Blade Runner 2, 049. And you have 30 minutes to buy the ticket. And all you do is walk up, hand them, and buy the ticket. You just use that debit card just as payment. That's all you do. And you're in. You're done. So, yeah, so I have spent $9.95 and saw three movies this week. So I have saved, let's see, one was $7, one was $10.49.
So you saved $37,423.
Exactly. Yes. So, yeah, it's very, very cool. So it absolutely does work. And there may be some theaters that won't take it, but there are well over 4,000 that do. AMC is the second biggest chain. Regal is the biggest chain. all I can tell you is that locally, every movie theater chain that is within 50 miles of me accepts it according to the website. And I have no reason to think they don't, because everything I've tried does. So
we can end on a good news note.
Yeah, that's very, very good news. So go to MoviePass, sign up. And again, they are swamped with people responding. So it may take a few weeks to get it, but it's definitely worth it. So go with that. And this way you can actually go see movies that you're kind of iffy about because you've already paid for it. And it leaves you more money to go spend for your $7 Coke and your $9 popcorn.
Yeah.
But a very, very good thing indeed.
Awesome. And a good way to end the show, because we've run long, but that's okay.
Yes, we have run long. We're bad people.
They'll get over it.
Yeah, possibly.
Hopefully you enjoyed the show. And we'll be back next week.
Woo!
Good night, everybody.
Ariel! Oompa! Ride!
Do you think they would let me live in Montana?
I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
Darn, that's the end.